Begin the current daf, Masechtas Kiddushin, daf Chav Beis, begins 6 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, explaining the halach of our Mishnah regarding Evet Ivri. Specifically, as our Gemara quoted from the Mishnah, there's halach of our Nirtza Nikna Biritzia, that an Evet Ivri that was supposed to be a slave only for 6 years, however, he says, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children, I want to stay longer. The halacha is, they bore a hole in his ear, and then he stays in Evet up until Yevil. So the Gemara explains this halacha specific, Tarnabanu Lutna Braisa. The Pasuk in Shemai says, Im Omar Yoimar. There's a repetitious term over here regarding when he says, oh, I love my master, I don't want to leave after 6 years, I want to stay on. So he explains the Braisa, Acha Yoimar V'yishna. What it's teaching is that he has to say it and repeat it. He has to say this, that he wants to stay as an Eved Nirtza. He has to say it twice. So the Braisa explains, if he says this, that he wants to stay on in the beginning of the 6 years and not at the end of the 6 years, so in the nirtza, that's not enough. As we said, he has to be twice. He won't have this halach of nirtza. Shanim, like it says in the pasuk, it's not enough to say it in the beginning, because it says in the pasuk, lo eitze chavshe, he says, I don't want to go out free, which is achayem b'shas yitzia. Obviously, he has to say it at the time when he's leaving. In other words, this that we're saying that he has to im omar yom, he has to say it 2 times, the Bryce is illustrating it can't be in the beginning and not at the end, and it can't be at the end and not at the beginning. How do you see it has to be at the end? Because he's saying, I don't want to go out free, that's only applicable when he's going free, towards the end. Omar b'seiv sheish, b'loy me b'tchila sheish, let's say he said at the end of the 6 years, and he didn't say it in the beginning of the 6 years, again says the Bryce, and a nirtza, he won't get nirtza, shenem, because it says in the pasuk, im omar yomer ha'evad. If the Eved will say it, which is Achriyem Mekushu Eved. It's only if he says it while being an Eved. If he's only saying it at the end when he's going free, well, at that time he's not an Eved anymore, it's not sufficient. He has to say it both in the beginning when he's an Eved and at the end when he's going free. That's what the Braisa says. Now, that the Gemara comes to explain this Braisa. Amar. The time that the Braisa said, Amar betchilashe, should be says in the beginning of the 6 years. Now, the assumption of the Gemara is, as the literal translation sounds like, that it means literally in the beginning of the 6 years, right when he becomes an Eved, he says, he walks in, beautiful house, says, you know what, I'm not leaving here after 6 years, I want to stay on. So the Braisa said, if he said in the beginning of the 6 years, and he doesn't say it at the end of the 6 years, in a nirtza, he's not going to become a nirtza, why? As we said, because he has to say, I don't want to go free, well, that's only applicable if you're going free. In the beginning, you're not going free yet. So it must be that you say it at the end too. So that asks the Gemara, my ear, Yomaloy Eitze Chavshi, why do you need to say that the reason why it's not going to create to make him a nirtza, if he doesn't say at the end because of the pasuk of I'm not going free, typically to be inan, that there should be another reason why he can't become a nirtza if he only said in the beginning of the 6 years and not the end, because as the pasuk says, he has to say, Ahavti es adoni, I love my master, es ishti, my wife, ves bonai, and my children, beleka, because this is a reference to which wife and kids? It's a reference to the wife and kids that he has, which his master gave Meshivcha Kananis. And that wife is what he doesn't take with him when he leaves. He says, I want to stay here. I love my Meshivcha Kananis wife, and I love my children from her. Now the problem is, in the beginning of the 6 years, he doesn't yet have children from her. He doesn't even have the wife yet. So how can, if you're saying that he only said in the beginning of the 6 years, not at the end, that he's not going to become a nirtza because of Lo Yetzeh Chavshi, for a different reason. Forget about Lo Yetzeh Chavshi. He doesn't have the critical part of Nirtza, which is saying I love my wife and my kids, which he doesn't have yet. Vesu, moreover, the Braisa said the flip side. Amar b'seiv sheish, b'loy amar b'tchila sheish, ein nirtza. The Braisa says, if he only says that he wants to stay at the end of the 6 years, and not in the beginning of 6 years, he does not become a nirtza. It doesn't qualify. Shenema, like the Braisa brought, because the pasuk says, amar yomer ha'evet. He has to say it while still an evet. At the end, he's not an evet anymore. So that the Gemara asked too. Atu save sheish lav evidhu? What, you think at the end of the 6 years he's not a slave? What do you mean? The last day, which is the end of the 6 years, that whole entire day is an evid until he finally goes free. So why is that problematic about being ha-evid? Even if you do it at the end, you're also still an evid. So why does that show that he has to have said it in the beginning of the 6 years? So Amar Rava, Rava requalifies the definitions and the terms of this brisa. He says, my betchila sheish. What did we mean in this brisa whenever we use the term the beginning of the six? Doesn't mean the beginning of the 6 years. It's betchilas pruta achreina. It's the beginning of the last pruta worth of avdus. In other words, when the eved is almost at the end of the 6 years, and according to the calculation of how much he was bought for, if you prorate it, you'll see how much each pruta's worth of that kinyan of the eved were calculated to be towards the end of the 6 years, when it's a still one pruta left, that's value of the slave. That's what we were calling the beginning of the 6 years. Doesn't really mean the beginning of 6 years. It's all the way at the end. Just but that there's still some of this left. Well, my beslave shishim, what does it mean? Whenever we use the terminology at the end of the six, it means beslave pruta achrein. It means at the end of the last coin. In other words, once you already started that avdus into the last pruta's worth, now then he's not an eved anymore because it's not worth a shabbat pruta. So now, according to Rava's reinterpretation of the brisa, this is what the brisa is saying. If he said in what's called tchilasheish, what does that mean? Not the beginning of the 6 years. Meaning before he started the work of the last pruta's worth that he owes the master. And at that point, that answers the Gemara's question. He already has a wife and children. Now, but he didn't say it b'seif sheish. In other words, he didn't say it after he already started beginning the avdus of the last pruta's worth. That's what the Braisa says. He doesn't become a niritza, even though he repeats it two times. Why? Because it says, loy etze chavshi. I don't want to go out free. Which sounds like that it's very close to leaving. Now, as long as you still have a complete pruta's worth of work, well, that's not close to leaving because you're still an eved. Now, the other halacha of the brisa said that if he went and he repeated it only at the end of the last pruta's work, where he already started that last pruta's work, but he didn't say it in the beginning, meaning before he started the last pruta's work, he will not be nirtza because that's what the pasuk says, im amma yemer ha'eved, he has to say it while still an eved. And if you already started your last pruta's work, you're not really an eved anymore. You have to finish it up, but there's not enough to claim of even a shava pruta's worth of kinyan in the eved. So that's why the brisa said that you need to have both. Again, at the end, he has to say both statements, literally almost at the end, but one has to be before he starts the last pruta's work, as because of being an eved, and the other one he has to say while he already started that last pruta's work, where then that's because of le'etze chavshi, which is samach le'etzia, he's about to go free. Only then will he become an eved nirtza. Tanarban ulit na braisa, this that we brought in, this pasuk, this halacha about requiring a havtias ishti vesbanai, meaning you have to have ish and banim. So the Gemara continues with the qualifications of this halacha of the nirtza. Tanarban ulit na braisa, loy ishu banim. If the eved ivri has a wife, meaning a shifcha kananis, and children, meaning because he had relations with the shifcha kananis and he had children from her, but ulurabai ein ishu banim. But his master, who owns him, doesn't have a wife and children. Says the Braisa, ain't a nirtza, another qualification. Cannot become a nirtza, shneman, because the pasuk says in Devarim, ki ahevachov es beisecha, because when he loves you and your family, that's a qualification to be able to be a nirtza, and the master doesn't have a family. Let's say l'rabbi isha banim, let's say the master has a wife and children, but v'loy ain't isha banim, but for the eved ivri, there are no wives and kids, ain't a nirtza, then he doesn't become a nirtza, shneman, like we mentioned before, ahavtiyas adonias ishtiviz banim, he has to have that he loves his master, his wife, the Shefcha Kananis, and children, and he doesn't have, then he doesn't become a nirtza. Let's see who oyeves rabbi. He loves his master, but the rabbi ain't oyevoy, but his master doesn't love this slave. Then ain't a nirtza, he cannot become a nirtza. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk, ki toiv loy imach, because it's good for him with you, and that is, it's only if it's good for you. But if you, the master, doesn't like him, then he's not staying around to be a nirtza. Let's say rabbi oyevoy, let's say the master loves this slave. But v'hu ain't oyves rabbi, but he doesn't love his master. That also ain't a nirtza, he can't become a nirtza. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk, ki ahibacha, like we mentioned before, because he loves you, he has to love you. Let's say hu chayla v'rabbi ain't a chayla. Let's say the slave is ill, but the master is not ill. Ain't a nirtza, he cannot become a nirtza. Shnem, because it says in the pasuk, ki toiv loy imach, because it's good for him with you. What does it mean good for him? Meaning that an exception, but if he's sick and it's not good for him, then he cannot become a nirtza. Let's say Rabbi Chayla v'hu ain't a Chayla. Let's say his master's sick, but he's not, the Eved's not sick. Also ain't a Nirtza, cannot become a Nirtza. Shnem, because it says in the Pasuk that ki toiv loy imach, that has to be good for him with you, that has to be good for you too. If you're sick, it's not good, but for him it is, so that doesn't qualify. Now, Boyer of Bibi Bar Bayan, he wondered, Shnaim Chaylin Mai, what's Allah if both of them are sick? As the Gemara explains the question. Imach be'inan v'ha'ikah is the primary thing that means it has to be good for him just like it's good for you, but it's to be like you, and just like you're sick and he's sick, so he's like you, and therefore he could be a nirtza. Idilma ki toiv lo imach be'inan v'ha'lek, or maybe the primary is not just to be like you, but to be good like you, and that we don't have, because both of them are sick, and therefore he cannot become a nirtza. And I think Gemara says, take or let it stand, it's not clear what the halacha would be. Continuing on this pasuk that we quoted in the previous halacha, the previous braisa, the Gemara brings another braisa, turn up on says in the pasuk, "Ki toiv lo imach," because it's good for him with you. So explains the Braisa. What does it mean? It's good for the slave with you. Imach b'maychel, imach b'mishter. It should be good for him with you with the way you eat, and good for him with you the way you drink. What does that mean? Shleite ato oichel pas nakiya, that you, the master, should not be eating refined bread. V'oichel pas kiva, is eating coarse bread. Ato shoyse yayin yosh, and you're going to be drinking fine old wine. V'ushoyse yayin chadash, is going to be drinking new wine, which is not as flavorful. Ato yosh nagabi mukh, and you're going to be sleeping on these comfortable pillows. V'uyosh nagabi tev, and he's going to be sleeping on straw. That should not be, there should not be that disparity. Ki toiv lo imach. Says the Braisa, Mekan Amru, from here they said, Kolakoyne evet ivri, actually, paradoxically, one who buys an Evet Ivri could kind of odin la'atzma. He's actually purchasing a master for himself because he got to treat him as well as yourself and sometimes even better. So too, in this same concept, where we see how much responsibility and liability the master has to treat a slave, Satan Rabbanu Lutna Bryce, it says in the pasuk, V'yotze mi'imach, that he leaves from you, this Evet Ivri, when he's finally leaving, who uvan of imay, him and his children with you. Now, as Rashi points out, we're obviously talking about his Jewish wife, because it was talking about his non-Jewish wife, the Isha Kananis, and those children. That the pasuk says in Shemes Chafalaf that Isha B'Yoldel says that the woman, the Isha Kananis, and her children actually stay in the master's domain. So when it's saying that he leaves with his family with him, what does that mean they're leaving with him? Amr B'Shimon, Imhu Nimker, if the man himself got sold, Banav B'Naisa Minim Karm, are his sons and daughters sold? What does it mean his family leaves with him? From here we learn that his master is responsible to feed not only the Evet Ivri, but his children with him. Now, similarly, you say regarding another pasuk. It says, "Imbal ishahu," if he's a man that's married to a woman, so when he finishes his avdus as an Evet Ivri, his wife leaves with him. Amr Shimon, imhu nimka, if he's sold, ishli min nimkeres, is his wife sold, what does it mean his wife leaves with him? Mikan sherabbi chai b'mezenis ishtei. From here we learn that the master is responsible to feed his wife too. And now it's richa. We need both these halachas. The yesh min ba'anav, had we only taught the first halacha, that he has to feed the man's children too, b'shem delay b'nei me'eved u'mechelen, because they're not individuals that could work and feed themselves because they're minors. Aval ishtu debas mechel u'mavid, but his wife that is capable of working and feeding herself, imitavid v'techel, I would say that she has to work and feed herself. That's why we need the other pasuk to say that he has to feed the wife too. Now, the yesh min ishtei, had we only had the second pasuk that says that he has to feed the man's wife, to lav dirka lahadur, because it's not normative for a woman to have to go around door to door collecting, because it's embarrassing for a woman. Avabonav de darkayu lahaduri emaloi, but regarding the man's children, where kids don't care that much, they'll go door to door. For them, I would say that the master doesn't have to feed this man's children. That's why tzricha, that you have to teach both halachas to say that the master has to feed not only the Evet Ivri, but his wife and his children. Now, Tanya Ban Lin, the Braisa, continuing on these halachas of Nirtza, as we continue on Tamid Beis, says the Braisa, Ilu Nemar, had the pasuk said, which talks about the procedure of doing Ritzi in the ear of the Evet Ivri, he wants to stay on till Yevil, had it said that the master goes and takes this Marzea, that it's Oznoi Badeles, and he places it in the man's ear by the door, Hayisi Aimer says the time of the Braisa, I would have interpreted what the pasuk would mean then, is Yidker Keneged Oznei Badelas, that he should pierce the door opposite the Evet Ivri's ear, but that he shouldn't be actual making a hole in the ear of the Evet Ivri. Now, which the Gemara immediately asks on this Braisa, Delas in Oznei Loi, would that actually be entertained, even if the words were Oznei Badelas, that he's only going to be making a hole in the door just opposite with the ear of the Evet Ivri, but in the ear not? The price asked the Gemara of Oizen Loy and not the ear. But Vokzib, the Pasuk says in Shemois, V'ratza Adoy Neves Oznei B'Amartzei, it says clearly in the Pasuk that the master bores a hole in the ear of the Eved with a Martzea. So rather, he said, what I would have said, had it said that Oznei Badelis, which is a Pasuk in Devarim, says, V'lakachta Es Martzea, you should take the oil, V'nasata, and you should put it. So the way we have it is Oznei U'Badelis. But the price is entertaining. If it would have said, and you place it, Oznei Badelis, you put his ear on the door. So the way we first read it was, yeah, you put his ear on the door, and then you make the hole in the door, and not his ear. Which we say clearly from the passing of Shemois, you're obviously making a hole in his ear too. So rather, what I would have said is, you're tsenu lo oizen me'avroi. The first, you make a hole in the ear from afar, meaning distant from the door. Because like it says in the Pasuk, that the master goes and Ratz Adonim es Aznoi b'mratzeya, just with the ear, nothing to do with the door. Then, v'yenchena, and then he will place it, meaning he'll put the Eved's ear, al hadeles, on the door. And then he'll take the Mratzeya, v'yidker keneged Aznoi b'deles, and then he'll go ahead and make a hole, which opposite the area of the Eved's ear, in the door, on the other side, opposite where the ear is, to fulfill, you will take the oil, and you'll put his ear by the door, and then you'll make a hole in the door. But I wouldn't know that you're making a hole in his ear by the door. I would think you make a hole in his ear, then you put his ear by the door, and then the other side of where his ear is, you make a hole in the door. That's the Pasuk teaching in Devarim, no, but Ozna Uvadelis. The way we have the reading is that you take the Marteya and you put it Ozna Uvadelis in his ear in the door. Okay, so what does that mean? Because Deiker V'Hailich, what he does is he makes a hole through the Eved's ear, which is on the door, Ad Shemegiyah Tzal Dalas, until it goes to where the door is. Not that you do the ear separately and the door separately. You actually go through the ear until it gets to the door. So not like it's coming from the other side of the door. You're actually getting to the door by going through the ear of the Eved. Now, another aspect of this halacha is, it says in the Pasuk, you do it by the Dalas, by the door. Now, Shemeani Bein Akur, I would have thought to say whether if the door is off from the hinges and it's on the floor, or Bein Shein Akur, whether it's not off the hinges and it's on the door frame. But at least you do it by a door. Tamalame, as the Pasuk teaches, it says the word Oyel HaMezuzah, or meaning it says that you bring the Eved Ivri to El Adelis to the door, Oyel HaMezuzah, or to the door post. Now, that teaches us Ma Mezuzah Me'umah, just like a door post, has to be standing, because if not, it's not, quote, a mezuzah. A doorpost is not a doorpost when it's on the floor. A door is always a door. A doorpost is only because it's the frame of where the door is. So just like mezuzah has to be standing, avdelis na me'umet, so too the door has to be standing. That's the requirement of doing the ritzua by the ear, by a door. Now, the Gemara concludes this discussion with words of Agadah to relating to this halacha of the Eved's ear and the door. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, who derish es ha-mikra hazeh, he expounded this following pasuk, kimin chaymer, like a chaymer, which is a reference to a bundle of a packet that holds diamonds or that holds fragrant spices, which hangs on a person's neck as an adornment, which means to say, it has it packaged very well together, which is, manishtana izin mikol evam shabaguf. Why was it that the ear was chosen out of all different limbs of the person's body to have this penalty of nirtza in his ear, of the Eved Ivri who wants to stay on to be longer in Eved? Because Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Oizen sheshama koili al Har Sinai, the ear of a person that heard my voice on Har Sinai. B'shosh, at a time when I said, as it's quoted in Mayikra, Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, because for me the Jewish people are slaves. V'loi avodim l'avodim, and not slaves for slaves, meaning they're not going to be the slaves of Egyptians. They're going to be my slaves, says Hashem. V'holach zev v'kana odin la'atzmai, this person goes and acquires from himself a master for himself, so he becomes a slave of a slave because his master is a slave to me. Yeratza, that ear that heard me tell this should be pierced, should have a hole in it. That's why the ear is chosen. Now, Reb Shimon ben Rebbi, ha-yuderish ha-samikra ha-zekim in chaymer. And Reb Shimon ben Rebbi, he expounded the following pasuk, also like this packet, which is, manishtan de'elestu mezuzah mikol kelim shebabayis. Why is it, as we learned in the pasuk that we quoted before, that a door and a doorpost were chosen from all the other utensils in the house to have the ritzua happen on it? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, the same similar concept, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Delas and mezuzah sh'yedim b'mitzrayim, the door and the doorpost that were witnesses in Egypt, B'shosha pesachti ala mashkev al shtei mezuzah, at the time when I jumped over the lintel and the two doorposts, which v'amarti, and I said, Keli b'nei Yisrael avadim, this was the final of the exodus of Egypt, where Hashem says, and I said that the Jewish people are from me slaves. I'm not going to be slaves to slaves, meaning to the Egyptians. And I took them out from slavery to freedom. This guy goes and he goes backwards. He goes and makes himself a slave to another person, to a slave, not to me. So in front of those witnesses who saw me say that I'm the master of them and no other human shall be master over them, and this guy takes a human to be master of them, in front of them, this person should have a hole made in his ear. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again the third in the series from the beginning of our Masechta, talking about the kinyanim, the acquisitions of a person. First Mishnah spoke about the kinyanim of an Isha, second one spoke about the kinyanim of an Eved Ivri. Our Mishnah continues with Eved Kenani Nikna, the acquisitions of a non-Jewish slave, are in three ways, Bekesef, Ubishtar, Ubechazak, with money, with a document, and with taking possession of him. Now, Bekoines Atzmoy, and that he reacquires himself back from his master to be not a slave anymore, either Bekesef Alide Acherim, with money through others, meaning that others should give the money straight to the master on the condition that that should release this slave to be a free man. But the understanding of this opinion is the slave himself cannot get the money from the others then to give that money to the master, because even if the others gave him the money on the condition that the master doesn't have any rights to that money, still this first opinion of the Mishnah holds that a slave cannot acquire anything without his master automatically getting it. So there's no way for him to redeem himself. Rather, it's only if monies were given through others to the master directly, that's one way he could free himself. And ubishtar al-dei atzmai, or if he receives the document himself from his master, those are the two ways he could free himself. That's Divrei Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir, and the Gemara will explain this opinion of Rav Meir and the Rabbanon who dispute Rav Meir. Whereas because of a chacham, I remember the sages say, bekesef al-dei atzmai, that money could even be through the Eved himself, as actually a few words later, the Chacham explained what they mean by that. And ubishtar de'acherim, and their document could even be acquired through someone else. Now, as the Mishnah qualifies this opinion of the Chachamim, when they say that bekesef could be al de'atzmai, and actually bishtar has to be through others, ubavachi ha'kesef mishal acherim, as long as the monies that the Eved himself is going to pay up the master to redeem himself has to be from others. And the reason being is because an Eved really can never have his own money, because whatever he finds or receives as a gift from someone else, automatically, kol ma shekana eved, kana rabbi, his master gets it. Now, if he's going to become redeeming himself by himself, what it has to be, explains the Chachamim, not like Rav Meir, that he could do it himself, but it has to be what he received from others, that they gave it to him, al menas she'in l'rabbi rishos, but on the condition that his master has no rights, and then there the Chacham hold that he could get it, and he could be coined it for himself, and then he could use that to pay his way out from being a slave to the master. Now, the Gemara first asked regarding the opening halacha this Mishnah, Minolon, how do we know that an Eved Kenani could be purchased with Kesef Shtar Chazaka? So the Gemara said, Dichsib, it says a pasuk in Yikra. It says, Visnachaltim Isim Levnechem Acharechem Lereshas Achuz. It talks about an Eved Kenani, and the Torah warns the Jewish people that you should bequeath the Eved Kenanis to your children after you as an inheritance of ancestral. Now, says the Gemara, we see that the pasuk is equating an Eved Kenani with the ancestral field halachas, which tells us mas de'achuzah, just like an ancestral field, which is why you hold on to the Eved Kenani, just like the de'achuzah you have to hold on forever, just like that de'achuzah is nikna bekesef b'shtar b'chazaka, can be acquired with money, a document, and taking possession of it, which will be taught later on the Chavav Med Aleph, af Eved Kenani, that teaches us so too, a non-Jewish slave is nikna bekesef b'shtar b'chazaka, can be purchased with money, document, and taking possession of it. Now, however, if you would say that, but if you're totally equating it to ancestral field, you might have thought to say that just like the ancestral field, when it's sold, it goes back to the owners in the Yevil year. So too, the non-Jewish slave, when he's sold, goes back to the owners in the Yevil year. That's what the pasuk teaches. No, forever you shall enslave them. Whereas Tosafot points out, you can't say, as we've said other places, that lo'ilam means up until the Yevil year, and not forever, because then the pasuk shouldn't have said this pasuk. And we would have known, yes, just like ste'achuzah, when the halach is, when you sell it goes back at the Yevil. So to Eved Kenani, why does it add on this pasuk, lo'ilam em tavaydu, to say lo'ilam really means lo'ilam, forever. When the non-Jewish slave is sold, he stays forever as a slave. Now, Tanu Limna Braisa, that adds on a fourth way. Af b'chalipin, the non-Jewish slave could be purchased also with chalip, what's called making an exchange, where the common way is kinyan sudr. One person gives the other one the kerchief, and with that, that creates an exchange of that other item which is being purchased, which in this case refers to the Eved Kenani. Now, however, the Tana Didana, our Gemara explains that the Tana of our Mishnah that didn't quote that fourth way of chalipin is because milsa, something that applies to an Eved, that the lessa, that doesn't apply b'metaltlin by other movable items. Eved Kenani is something that's movable. It's not like karka that you can't move. It's geographically always going to stay there. So that's what Ketani, that's what the Tana of Mishnah taught, which was somewhat of a chiddush, saying that although it's a movable item, you would think that it cannot be acquired these three ways. So we're saying that, no, we're saying that something that is uniquely not cannot be used by metatlin, which is a reference to these three ways, which metatlin are not usually acquired that way. Those are the things that we're saying, that even though an Eved Kenani is a metatlin, he actually has halacha like karka, as we just taught. But milsa, but something, for example, like chalipin, the isa, which is a kinyan also by other b'metatlin, by other movable items, because they're also required with chalipin, that like Ketani, that the Tana of Mishnah did not have to teach. Of course you could acquire Eved Kenani with chalipin, because he's a movable item, and metatlin are acquired with chalipin. The chiddush was only to tell us, kinyanim for karka work for Eved Kenani, because he's learned out his halachas from steachuza, from karka. Now, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel adds on another halacha. He says, Eved Kenani nikne b'meshicha. A non-Jewish slave could also be acquired by pulling him, by drawing him to you. Ketzad, what would the case be? To kafai, if the owner grabs forcefully this Eved Kenani, uvo atzlai, and he brings him to him, kanoi, he has acquired him with the kinyan b'meshicha. But kuroi uvo atzlai, but Shmuel explains, if he calls him and he comes to him, loy kanoi, he has not acquired him. And the reason being, as the Gemara will explain, because he's coming from his own volition, his own awareness, and that's not considered mashiach, not pulling him. An animal, as we'll see in contrast, when you call it, the calling is what's creating it to come. A human decides, do I want or do I not want? Or do I want, maybe I'm going to get hit? Fine, I can make that choice. So therefore, it's only if you pull him and he comes, that will be kind of a mashiach, but if you call him, it will not. That's what Shmuel adds on. Now, the Gemara asks and explains, Bishlam l'tan didan, we understand the Tana of our Mishnah, which will not be a difficulty for Shmuel. Why didn't the Tana of a Mishnah, if it's true, say the halach of Shmuel, that you could be kohen an Eved Kenani additionally with Meshicha? Because you could answer, like we said before, Milsa de Isa b'metalta loy katani. A kinyan that works for movable items, that the Tana of a Mishnah wasn't interested in saying, because that of course we know works. The lesser b'metalta katani, only kinyanim that will not work by movable items, that's what the Tana of a Mishnah taught. So Meshicha, which applies by metatlin, the Tana of the Mishnah didn't find the need to say it. But the question is, according to Tana, the Braisa that taught another way of Kinyanim for Eved Kenani, specifically that of Chalipin, well, according to that Braisa, it will be difficult, according to Shmuel, that if it's true, like Shmuel said, that you could be Kinyan Eved Kenani with Meshicha, Nisni Meshicha, then it should say Meshicha too. Because obviously the Tana Braisa is saying Kinyanim that applied to Metatlin, which is the case by Chalipin, so why not say additionally the Halacha of Meshicha? And from the fact that it didn't say it, it sounds like they disagree with Shmuel. So that the Gemara says no. This is going the other way. Kikatani, when did the time that Bryce say kinyonim, which he said four ways, will work for Eved Kenani, is Nisa de Isa Bemimakarkoi Bemimetaltli. Only kinyonim that will work both for Karka and Metaltlin. So for example, Chalipin, that's something which was said together with those that work for Karka, because those three work for Karka, as mentioned in our Mishnah. Additionally, Chalipin also could work for Karka. It could just also work for Metaltlin. So those are the cases the time that Bryce taught. Meshicha, but pulling something to you, where actually it only works by metatli and not by karka, that lekatani, that the Tana Braisa wasn't teaching, because again, the Tana Braisa was teaching essentially the same chiddush as the Tana of the Mishnah. So the Tana Mishnah said things that only work with karka, that's definitely the main part of the chiddush. Now Tana Braisa added on also chalipin, which is also from the kinyonim of karka, it just also works by metatli. But to say something that only works by metatlin, that we have no need to say. Of course, this mashlich is going to work, because an eved is a metatlin, is a movable thing. It's just we wanted to say kinyanim of karka, which the town of the Bryce just added on chalipin, which is also kinyan karka, just also a kinyan metatlin. So now the Gemara explains the halacha of Shmuel. Shmuel said, Ketzad, how does this kinyan mashlich work by Eved Kenani? So he said, to kafai uvo it's like kani. He says, if you grab him and you pull him to you, you schlep him, then you could acquire him. But if you call him and he comes to you, that you haven't acquired him. Now the Gemara wonders why. The Kroy Loi, and if you call him, it's not considered a kinyan of drawing him to you. But Vatanya, we'll learn the Braisa, which this Braisa is in the halachas of an animal. We will learn the Mishnah later on Chafeima Beis, that says this halacha, that a behema gasa, a large animal, you could be kinyan with mesira, with giving over from one person to the other person. So the Braisa explains that halacha and says, Ketzad b'mesira. How does this halacha work of giving something over to another person? That's a halacha kinyan. So the Braisa explains, Achza b'talfa. If he grabs a hold of its hoof, or b'saira, or its hair, for example, like a horse that has hair on its head, or b'ukav sha'alaha, or the saddle that's on it,
or b'shlif shalahu, or the load that's on it, or b'primya shebepiyo, or the bit that's in its mouth, or b'zug shebetzavaro, or the bell that's on its neck. So kana, so you have acquired that. That's considered giving over, just holding it where the other one gives it to the other one, and now you're holding part of it. That's considered mesira. Now the Brisa continues. It says ketzad b'meshicha. How does the kinyan of meshicha, pulling, of drawing it to you, how does that work by an animal? Says the Brisa, kaira love hiba. You just call to it and it comes. That already works. That's going to be the Gemara's question, where Shmuel said calling the eved and it comes is not going to work. Now the Brisa continues. Oishay kisha b'makel, or if he hits it with a stick. V'ratzalafonav, and causes it to move, to run in front of him. Says the Brisa, kivin sha'akru yad v'regel kana. Once it picked up a hand and a foot, it made it to move. That's the kind of meshicha of pulling it, of drawing it. He has already acquired it. Now, however, Rabasi, Vamrila, and some say Rabachaim, he says, achatahalach lafonav b'loy kamasa, until it moves an entire length of it, meaning it has to move all four legs. That's the minimum. So that's that machlokes. But primary, what the Gemara's question is, we see just calling and making it come is considered kinyan meshicha. So why Shmuel say if you call and make the eved kinyan come, it's not going to be a kinyan. So I think I explained the fundamental difference between people that want to do behavioral studies on animal and people. I mean, they said behema adait demar azla. An animal goes based on what its master tells it, meaning the caller makes it come because an animal doesn't have any of its own das, its own intelligence. It hears the calling, it comes, so it's your calling that's making it come. Eved adaita de nafshik azla. A slave, since he's a human being, he goes because he decides to come. No one can make you do anything. There might be a lot of contingencies, a lot of consequences, a lot of negative reinforces, and that makes you do it, but ultimately you're doing it. So unless if he drags you, if he just calls you and you go as an Eved Kenani, that's not enough of a sufficient Meshicha, because it's not the owner that did the kinyan, it's the Eved who on his own went, and therefore that's not valid in contrast to an animal. Now, Amr Vashi, Vashi says, however, Eved Katan, a minor slave who does not have das because he's under 13, ki behema dami, then he actually has halacha like an animal, and if he calls the little slave for the purposes of making him come, of Meshicha, of kinyanim, and he comes to him, then actually he would have acquired him even just by calling. Now, the Gemara explains our Mishnah. How do we understand this halacha of acquiring a slave by taking possession of him? What does that mean? So the Brisa explains, if the slave opens, unties the shoelaces, opens the shoe of the purchaser, or he takes his clothing after him to the bathhouse, or he unclothes him, or he bathes him, or he anoints him, or gardai, if he takes his fingernails and stuff like that on his flesh, on the hard parts of the skin, he scrapes off those hard parts of the skin, or halbisha, he clothes the master, this other person who's for the purposes of becoming the master, or anile, puts on his shoes, or higbiyai, or the slave picks up this purchaser, kanoi, with any one of these ways, is considered that he was machzik, and then he took possession of him. That's considered chazaka, and he has now established him as a slave. Just like by karka, there's certain things that you do showing you're the master. If someone is doing these things for you, you have now officially taken possession of this person you have illustrated, and that's a kinyan of chazaka, that he's your Eved Kenani. Now, Amr Shimon says to the Tanakama, Loite chazaka gedolim hagba. The halachas of taking possession should not be any greater than the halachas of the classic halacha of picking something up, where shagbah kaina b'chal makam, in general, lifting up something, picking it up, is a kinyan of hagbah in all places. So therefore, don't make chazak over here any greater than that. Which the Gemara asks, my kama, what is Reb Shimon saying? What is the general halacha of someone picking up something for the purposes of acquiring it have to do with over here? In general, the halacha of hagbah is when a purchaser, someone that wants to acquire something, picks up that object. Here, we're talking about actually the opposite of that, where the slave is picking up the master for the purposes of showing his servitude, where the lekech is being meshabed him to acquire an act of chazaka, so that's the other way around. It's not the master picking up the slave, it's the slave picking up the master. What is Reb Shimon saying? So Amar Rav Ashi explains as follows. The Tanakhama said, Higbihu hu l'raboi kanoi. As we mentioned before, that was the case of Higbihoi, which that's the only case the Tanakhama says. He said that if the slave picks up the master, well, obviously he's picking him up, he's serving him, that's a kinyan of chazaka. Then he has acquired him as Eved Kenani.
But the inference is that Tanakam was saying is Higbiyo Rabbi Loi Loi Kanai. If the master picked up the slave, he hasn't acquired him. That on Reb Shimon, that's what Reb Shimon said to Tanakama, Loi Te Chazaka Gdele Magba. You cannot say that Chazaka, which is we were saying that when the slave picks up the master, should be any better than the classic Kinyav Hagba, which is that the master could also acquire the slave by picking up the slave. Shagba, Kainam Chalmakam, because picking something up is always an acquisition. So although other acquisitions have limitations, Hagba is always Kaina. Therefore, says Reb Shimon, it's not only the slave picking up the master picking up the slave would also acquire him as an Eved Kenani. But the Gemara asks a question on this halacha, according to all opinions. How should the Amit, now that you said, Higbiuhu l'rabbi kanoi, when the slave picks up the master, just by picking him up, by that picking up, it's an act of slavery, and therefore he has acquired him as an Eved Kenani. Elmeata, but then if that's the case, ask the Gemara, if it's true that when he lifts up his master, the master has acquired him as an Eved Kenani, then Shifcha Kenanis tikna b'bia. Then a man should acquire his female non-Jewish maidservant with an act of cohabitation. Because during the act of copulation, the woman lifts up the man. So that kin of Hagbah, should, that the fact that the slave lifted up the master, should actually be a kinyan. So why is it that if it's not, if we just taught that a kin, if the slave picks up the master, he has, that the master has acquired the slave? So the Gemara says, no. Kikamrina, when did we say this kinyan of Avdus, of Chazaka, that's not just because the slave lifted up the master, it's because Zenen of Zemitztar. It's that because the master has gained something, it's something beneficial for him, but the slave is in pain. So that's an act of slavery, showing there's a one-up over here. That's why, picking up the master acquires him. Hacha Zenen of Zenenahu. Here, both the master and the non-Jewish maidservant are both in an act of pleasure. And therefore, that's not illustrating a chazaka of avdus. Therefore, although she's lifting him up, that's not going to be acquiring her through the act of chazaka. Now, the Gemara, however, continues to ask, shaloi kedarka ma'ikalamema, but in an unnatural way, where there's no pleasure for her, there, why if she lifts him up in the act of bia, wouldn't he acquire her in the halacha of chazaka? So, Amrav Achai bar ado de min acha, he says 2 points. Man leimelon de lavano islu tavayu. Who's to tell us that both of them don't have pleasure in the act of bia shloi kedarka? When the woman is having bia in an unnatural way, who's to tell us that she doesn't have pleasure to say that that should be an act of chazaka? And that's why we say it's not necessarily an act of chazaka, because it's not an act of avdus, because she's not in tzar, she's also having hana. V'oid, moreover, he has a second point why we can't not say that having bia with a shifcha kenanis and then her picking him up should be an act of chazaka, because mishkevi ishikser. We have a pasuk that when it talks about the mishkev zachar, it says that a man's not alay with another man the copulations of a woman, which that's in the plural. The pasuk equates the act of bia with a woman that they're the same whether it's done in the normative way or in the unnatural way, and therefore it says that we cannot differentiate between the two of them. And therefore, since we equate the two of them, just like with regular bia, we say that it's not an act of abdus, even though she's picking him up, because zenene v'zenene, so too, even when it's done shaloi kedarka, first of all, who said that she's not having anah? And second of all, we see that it's compared to kedarka, and that's why he cannot acquire her as a shifcha with an act of bia. Now, the Gemara concludes this discussion with the following incident. Rabbi Huda Handu'ah, Rabbi Huda, who was from the land of Cush, from Ethiopia, was a ger she'in lo yershin hava. He was a convert that had no inheritors. Now, because he was new to the Jewish faith, he didn't have any relatives, and he's kekotin shenei l'dami, and he had no children. So chalash, he became ill. Ol mazutra l'shayu l'beis, so mazutra came to inquire about him to see how he's doing. Now, chazi the tokaf le amatuv, he saw that he was really doing not well. He was what's called in halacha a geisis, which is close to death. So amar le, so mazutra said la'avde to the slave of the ger, shleif mimesanai, take off my shoe, v'amtininu lebeis, and bring it to my house. Now, the reason why he did this was because he wanted to acquire him with an act of chazaka, which we just mentioned before when he takes off his shoe, but moreover, he wanted for it to continue, that it should be continue serving him until he gets to his house, so that when his master dies, he will be engaged at that moment in an act of servitude for Mazutra. So therefore,
he never had a moment to acquire himself because he was busy serving another person, which through that act, he acquired him. Once the ger dies, because anyone could come and acquire the nechasim of a ger, including his avadim, so he wanted to be that person so that the moment the guy, the ger master dies, he automatically becomes an eved of Marzutra. As the Gemara explains, actually two different versions of this story. Igud Amri, there are those that say, Gadol Hava, that this slave was an adult slave. Now, so therefore Marzutra was careful that he shouldn't have a moment to acquire himself from Hefker, because the moment the ger dies, all his stuff become ownless. Whoever wants to take it could take it, so too the Eved could take himself. Now, therefore, he wanted to make sure before the master died to inherit him. Now, as the Gemara continues, Tabachov Gimel and Alf, so what ended up happening was that Zeh, the ger master, was pierced lamisa, he went to death. Vizen automatically, because he was already engaged with an act of Mazdutra, Mazdutra was pierced l'chaim. He went and took over in life, taking the place of the other master, so that the Eved shouldn't have one moment without having a master over him. That's one version. Now, however, the Gemara continues and says, V'ikida amri katan habada. Those that say that this slave was actually a minor, and still Mazdutra had to go through this whole thing of having him be a slave during the moment of the death of the ger master, which, because Udalaik Abishal, Mazutra was going Nalik Abishal, who he holds that actually whoever wants to take the rights of this minor slave, even a long time after the owner had died, he could go ahead and take possession of the minor slave. Because the Tanya Lunna Braisa, Ger Shemes, talks about a convert that dies, and again, therefore there's no inheritors, Ubizbuzu Yisrael Nechasev, and now the Jewish people come and take all his properties because it's ownerless. And there were slaves over there. So the Tanakhama holds, whether the slaves were adults or minors, they have acquired themselves as free men. Which that's how Ma'azutra holds. And therefore, even though the slave was a minor, he had to go ahead and make sure he didn't have a moment to acquire himself from Hefker. However, he says, not only the adults, they could acquire themselves as free men. But the minors, whoever wants to, since they're not adults, they cannot acquire themselves. Therefore, whoever wants to acquire themselves, even at a later point in time, could take possession of them. So therefore, those are the two different versions. The first version would be like Abishal. The second version, it says it was even by a minor slave that he had to make sure that he didn't have a moment to acquire himself. It was obviously like the Tanakam of the Braisa, and not like Abishal, who holds that you wouldn't have to. By a minor slave, he can't take possession of himself. And even after the death, where there was time to be kind to himself, he wouldn't be able to, and Marzutra would have been able to acquire him even at that point as an Eved Kanani.